To non-Muslims, if there are any non-Muslims over here in the audience, they would be given the first preference to ask a question. For the non-Muslims, they can ask any questions on Islam and comparative religion, whether it be Islam, whether it be Christianity, whether it be Hinduism. This is the opportunity. Normally after religious talks, you don't have open question answer session. I always prefer so that there is a dialogue. You can ask any question on Islam, you can criticize Islam, you can attack the Quran if you want. This is the opportunity. I'm young, I can take it. After the non-Muslims have exhausted, we'll give opportunity to the Muslims to ask the question. Please, before asking your question, mention your name and your profession. Please ask one question at a time. Your question, if it's more than one, please go beyond the queue, behind the queue, and wait for your opportunity. Please keep your questions brief, two or three sentences. If it is more than two or three sentences, it's a short speech. Speech time is over. So ask your question in two or three sentences. And for the Muslims, please restrict your question to the topic, does God exist? For the non-Muslims, they can ask any questions on the topic, outside the topic, on Islam, on comparative religion. This is the prerogative. I believe there are four microphones, one for the gent on my left. There are three microphones, two for the gents, one on my left, one on my right, and one for the ladies on my extreme right. Those who would like to ask a question, I would request them to please make a queue behind the microphone. Those who come first would be given the first opportunity. If there are any, mashallah, there are many brothers on my left microphone, I would want even brothers on the right side should make a queue. And the sisters on my right, they can make a queue on the extreme right microphone. We will start with the ladies first and then go in a clockwise manner. Then my gent on my left, then gent on my right. Are there any non-Muslims on any of the microphones? If there are any non-Muslims, we would like to give them the first opportunity. If not, we can start with the sisters. Can the sister ask the first question? Brother, can you put the microphone more behind? Brother, let not the microphone cover the pillar. Suhail, either keep the microphone behind or in the front. Aage leke aao, piche leke jao. Get in the front, yes. Suhail, get the microphone in the front. Then we have the first question from the sister side. Yes, sister, most welcome.
Okay, assalamu alaikum and a very good evening to all. I'm Nadia Najib and I work as a town planner. This is a question from my dearest friend who is a non-Muslim. His name is Mahesh Kumar and he's a Hindu. And he's one of your biggest fans and most ardent supporters that I have known. And he has this one simple question. I'm sure that you are aware there has been a fierce debate and ongoing discussions about how similar Hindu and Islam is. And there are several claims to the standard saying how Kaaba are actually derived from the Kabaleeshwara temple, which means that the part where Shiva put his crescent moon on his head. And there are certain similarities between how...
Sister, can you pose the question a bit slowly? Slowly and clearly, please, sister.
All right. Sorry.
The first part I heard about our friend Mahesh, but when you start speaking on the temple, I did not understand.
Okay. Mahesh is a Hindu and he's a dearest person to me because we're very close. And he's one of your ardent supporters and he even looked like you a bit. And he has these questions about the ongoing debate, which is fiercely done by the internet. There are several writings saying how similar Hindu and Islam is. And those claims, I mean, partly of the claims are saying that how the Kaaba are derived from the word Kabaleeshwara, meaning the temple which is specifically for Shiva at the moment when he put the crescent moon on his forehead. And there are even some claims they saying how similar our pilgrims of Hajj and Umrah look to holy Pandit of Hindu. And there are also some claims saying that King Vikramaditya inscription on golden disc were hung in the Kaaba. And many, many more claims saying that some of them are such as the word 786, which is all over Quran, are actually a mirror of Om in Hindu, in Sanskrit.
The sister asked a very good question, that one of our friend by the name of Mahesh, he's a fan of mine, and he asked that there are many similarities between Islam and Hinduism going on the internet, and she gave a few examples regarding Kaaba being a Kamleshwar temple.
Yes.
And talking it belongs to Shiva, or the way the Hajj is done, the rites of the Hindus, and even the King Vikramaditya, something hanging Kaaba.
Dr. Zaki, and one more, he's saying that the circumambulations of Kaaba, the seven times, are similar to those practiced in temples.
First, you should realize, sister, if you have to understand any religion, don't look at the followers, look at the scriptures. If I have to understand Islam, don't look at the Muslims, understand the Quran and the authentic Hadith, which are the scriptures of Islam. Similarly, if I have to understand Hinduism, I don't have to look at the Hindus, I have to understand the scriptures. The Hindu scriptures have been divided into two types, the Shruti and the Smriti. The Shruti is the word of God. In Shruti, you have the Vedas and the Upanishads. In the Smriti, you have the Puranas, you have the Itihas, you have the Ramayana, you have the Mahabharata, you have the Bhagavad Gita. The most superior books are the Shrutis, Vedas and the Puranas. I know there are many books written by similarities between Islam and Hinduism, including by Sri Sri Ravi Shankar.
Yes.
And many things what you said, some of them are there in his book.
Mm-hmm.
That Kaaba is Shivling.
Yes.
And Kaaba is this.
Mm-hmm.
Not yes, it is no.
No.
Where, now you see, in none of the Hindu scripture ever does it say that Kaaba is Shivling. I want proof. It is his thinking. When you talk similarities, quote chapter number, verse number. And that's what I do. When I give a lecture, I quote Veda chapter number so and so, verse number so and so. If I talk about concept of God, I'll give you references. Not what Mahesh is following, or what Ganesh is following, or what anyone is following. We have to quote the scriptures. So when we compare about similarities, many a times they are comparing things which are not there in Islam. If some Muslim is doing some wrong practice and someone copies and says even Hindus do that, that does not mean Islam is saying that. And there are some Muslims who do wrong practice, they think it is Islamic, it's not Islamic. So for comparing two religions, we have to compare the scripture, sister. There are many similarities. I don't know of any place in the Quran mentioned that Kaaba is of Shiva, nowhere in any of the Hindu scriptures, any of the Shruti, whether Veda or Purana, that it is Shivling. Some say it is Shivling, some say Kamleshwar temple. These are all hypotheses. And when I had a debate with Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, he said, you know, I wrote this book very fast, in 2 hours. Who told you to write the book in 2 hours? See, I give reply in less than 2 minutes, correct? Just because I give the reply immediately in 2 minutes, that does not justify that I can make a mistake. Such a great personality, such a big following, you write a book and many of the things are wrong, it's not part of Islam at all. Similarly, sister, there is no proof of what you have said. Yes, regarding Hajj and the Tirth, yes, the Kaaba is mentioned in the Hindu scriptures. If you read Rig Veda, book number 10, it says the place for worship is the place where Narasimha was born. Narasimha is, Nar means man, Shansa means praiseworthy, praiseworthy. In Arabic, it is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it says the place of Tirth, the place of pilgrimage, is the place where Narasimha was born, where Prophet Muhammad was born. Yes, it does say. But doesn't say Shivling is Kaaba. It doesn't say that. There are places, I have given a full talk, for example. If I want to compare the concept of God in Islam and Hinduism, I say that most of the Hindus, if you ask a common Hindu, how many gods does he believe in? Some will say 3, some will say 10, some will say 1,000, some will say 33 crores, 330 million. But if you ask a learned Hindu, who is well versed with the scriptures, that how many gods should the Hindus believe in, he will say one god. But the common Hindu, he believes in a philosophy known as pantheism. The common Hindu believes that everything is God. The tree is God, the sun is God, the moon is God, the human being is God, the snake is God. What we Muslims believe is everything is God's. G-O-D with an apostrophe, yes. Everything belongs to God. The tree belongs to God. The sun belongs to God. The moon belongs to God. The human being belongs to God. The snake belongs to God. So the major difference between the Hindu and the Muslim is, the common Hindu says everything is God. We Muslims say everything is God's. G-O-D with an apostrophe, yes. The major difference is the apostrophe, yes. If we can solve this difference of apostrophe, yes, the Hindus and the Muslims will be united. How will you do it? Ta'alaw ila kalimatin sawa'in bainana bainakum. Come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'buda illallah. That we worship none but Allah. Now when we read the Hindu scriptures, when we read the Chandogya Upanishad, chapter number 6, section number 2, verse number 1, it says ekkam evidityam. It's a Sanskrit quotation which says, God is only one without a second. It's mentioned in the Sita Sitara Upanishad, chapter number 6, verse number 9. Na kasya kasij janita na chadipa. It's a Sanskrit quotation which says, Almighty God has got no Lord, has got no mother, no father. It's mentioned in Sita Sitara Upanishad, chapter number 4, verse number 19. Na tasya pratima asti. Of that God, there is no pratima. Pratima in Sanskrit means an image. Pratima means a picture, a portrait, a photograph, a sculpture, an idol. Na tasya pratima asti. Of that God, there is no pratima, there is no image, there is no picture, there is no painting, there is no portrait, there is no idol, there is no sculpture. Who says that? Sita Sitara Upanishad, chapter number 4, verse number 19. Further, if you read amongst the Hindu scriptures, the most sacred, the most widely read, is the Bhagavad Gita. It's mentioned Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, verse number 21. All those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires, they worship demigods, they worship false gods. And the most sacred amongst all the Hindu scriptures are the Vedas. If you read the Veda, it's mentioned Yajurveda. It's mentioned Yajurveda, chapter number 32, verse number 3. Na tasya pratima asti. Of that God, there is no image, there is no photograph, there is no painting, there is no picture, there is no idol, there is no sculpture. It's mentioned in Yajurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 8, that Almighty God is pure and doesn't have any image, imageless. It's mentioned in Yajurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 9, Andhatma Pavishanti Ya Asambhuti Mupaste. They are entering darkness, those who worship the Sambhuti, that is the natural things like water, air, fire, and the verse continues. They are entering more in darkness, those who worship the Asambhuti, the created thing like table, chair, idol, etc. Who says that? Yajurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 9. And the Brahma Sutra of Hinduism is Ekam Brahm Dyutya Naste Nena Naste Kinchan. Bhagwan ek hi hai, dusra nahi hai. Nahi hai, nahi hai, zara bhi nahi hai. There's only one God, not a second one. Not at all, not at all, not in the least bit. Now I'm quoting with reference. And believe me, there are many Hindus who love me, they respect me. They even come and touch my feet. I say, it is shirk. They say, we have seen avatar of God. Shirk, haram. Because I quote, I have not seen any Hindu speaker quoting like that. I'm a student of comparative religion, I'm not a scholar. So they come and they touch my feet. I say, haram, shirk. But those who are fanatic, they don't like it. And they say, Zakir is bringing discord. Now, am I bringing discord? I'm trying to get the Muslims and Hindus together by removing the apostrophe, yes. And how do I remove the apostrophe, yes? Quoting the scriptures. Have I criticized any one point? But I speak on a scholarly level with proof. So when you get similarities, sister, get similarities between the scriptures, not hypothesis. Mm-hmm. But hypothesis will create problems. Mm-hmm. If you say something, it will hurt the sentiments.
Yes.
I am quoting the scripture. That's the different thing, that most of the Hindus do not know the scriptures. So when they come to know, many a time the Hindu said, we have sat for your lecture and question answer session for 3 years. In my 40 years, what I did not learn, I learned in 3 hours of your lecture and question answer session. Alhamdulillah. And many of the Hindus respect me, they love me, but some who are fanatic, they don't like. Why? Because if Hindus and Muslims get together, then both log ki dukaan band ho jayenge. Their shop will close down. You know shop? Some people have made shops to sell. So we are here to bring peace between the different religions, whether it be Christianity. That's what the Quran says. Talaw ila kalimatin sawa in baina bainakum. Now ask your friend Mahesh to see my talk on similarities between Hinduism and Islam. It does not speak anything against Hinduism, but speaks about the similarities which many things which the Hindus aren't aware and even Muslims aren't aware. Hope that answers the question, sister.
Okay. Bahut bahut shukriya. That's okay.
You're most welcome. Can we have the next question?
Very good morning, sir. My name is... very good afternoon. my name is Carlos, and I am a Christian. So my question is, in Christian, we have Old Testament and New Testament, Bible, and which one should I read and should I trust more?
The brother asked a very good question. He's a Christian, and he says there is Old Testament, there is New Testament. Which should he trust? Whether there is Old Testament, there is New Testament. There's also something called as the Last Testament. Last Testament, Quran. Who's saying that? Not Dr. Zakir Naik. Dr. Zakir Naik in Islam is zero. Who says that? Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. If you read the New Testament, as a Christian, according to your church, you have to follow both. Only following, if you read the Bible, Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament talks about stories of the prophets right from Adam, peace be upon him, till before Jesus, peace be upon him. New Testament talks about the life of Jesus, peace be upon him, onwards. But a Christian, if he does not follow the Old Testament, he will not be able to follow the New Testament, because only if he believes the Old Testament will he agree with the prophecies of Jesus Christ's coming. So as a Christian, according to the church, you should follow Old Testament and New Testament. Now when you follow Old and the New Testament, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, peace be upon himself, says, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse number 12 to 14, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. For he, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall not speak of himself. All that here shall he speak. He shall glorify me. This is Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, talking to his people. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot understand them now. This is about 2000 years back. For he, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall guide you unto all truth. He shall not speak of himself. All that here shall he speak. He shall glorify me. This prophecy is about no one but coming of the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is not about Holy Spirit. It is about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Because Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse number 7 says, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter shall not come. For if I depart, shall he come. Many Christians say this is Holy Spirit. If you read this prophecy, the criteria for the Holy Spirit, for the Comfort to come, is that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, should depart. If you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit was already there before Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was born in the womb of Elizabeth. He was there when Jesus was born. He was there at the Feast of Pentecost. So surely this prophecy doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit, but refers to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is prophesied in several places, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18, verse number 18. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18, verse number 19. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 29, verse number 12. In the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 16. He's even prophesied in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, verse number 16, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, verse number 26, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse number 7, as well as Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse 12 to 14. All these are references. I'm not pulling a fast one. You can go home and check. And all these prophecies are talking about a new messenger to come. The last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So if you ask me, should you follow Old Testament or New Testament? I will tell you, follow the last testament. That is the Quran. And who has said that? Old Testament is saying that, I gave you references. New Testament is saying that, I gave you references. Jesus Christ, peace be upon himself, is saying. So if you're a good Christian, if you're a good follower of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, it is compulsory you should believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. If you do not, that means you're not a good Christian. Brother, are you a good Christian? Yes or no? Brother, are you a good Christian? You don't know. Are you a good Christian or not?
Yes.
That means you have to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. If Christian means a person who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, we Muslims are more Christian than the Christian themselves. Brother, do you believe Jesus is a prophet of God or is God?
Jesus is a prophet.
MashaAllah, that means you're good. Even we believe Jesus is a prophet of God. Because Islam is the only non-Christian faith which makes it an article of faith to believe in Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe that he was the Messiah, translated Christ. We believe that he was born miraculously without any male intervention. We believe that he healed those born blind and lepers with God's permission. The Christian and the Muslim, they are going together. But the difference is that most of the Christian, unlike you, mashallah, you are a good Christian. Unlike you, they say that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, claimed divinity. In fact, if you read the Bible, there is not a single unequivocal statement from the complete Bible where Jesus Christ, peace be upon himself, says that I am God, or where he says worship me. If you point out a single unequivocal statement from anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ, peace be upon himself, says that I am God, or where he says worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity. In fact, if you read the Bible, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, it's mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, verse number 28. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, my Father is greater than I. Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verse number 29. My Father is greater than all. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12, verse number 28. I cast out devil with the Spirit of God. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11, verse number 20. I with the finger of God cast out devil. Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse number 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. For I seek not my will, but the will of my Father. Anyone who says, I seek not my will, but the will of Almighty God, is a Muslim. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was a Muslim. It's clearly mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse number 22, that ye men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by wonders and miracles and signs which God did by him, and you are witness to it. That means Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, peace be upon him, was a prophet of God. Unfortunately, the church teaches the Christian that is God. But nowhere it is mentioned in the Bible that is God. Even in the Quran, it says that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was one of the mightiest messengers of God. Good brother. Brother, you believe that Jesus is God, alhamdulillah. Do you believe that there is one God?
Yes.
MashaAllah. Do you believe that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God?
Yes.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Very good. There are minimum two criteria required for any human being to enter the fold of Islam. If any human being wants to become a Muslim, there are minimum two things required. One, if he should believe there is one God, and I gave the definition of God in my lecture. You should not believe Jesus is God, and you should believe that besides Jesus being a messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad is a messenger of God. So if you believe there is one God, and if you believe Prophet Muhammad is a messenger of God, that means according to me you are a Muslim. To be a Muslim, you have to agree in these. Other things will follow later on. About following, about praying will come later on. But first you have to take admission into the school. First you join nursery, then you can do first standard, second standard, third standard, tenth standard. So to take admission in the fold of Islam, you have to believe in two things. Believe that there is one God, and believe that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God. And you agree with both. Would you like to say it in Arabic? Would you like to say that in Arabic, that there is one God and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God? If you believe in these two things, that there is one God, and you believe Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God, that means you are submitting your will to God. And a person who submits his will to God is called as a Muslim. Muslim doesn't mean having a name Zakir, Abdullah, Sultan or Muhammad. Muslim means a person who submits his will to God. If he agrees there is one God, and if he agrees Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God, these are the minimum two things required for a human being to become a Muslim. Later on, he will learn more and get more knowledge. But minimum these two things, if he agrees, he becomes a Muslim. Would you like to enter the fold of Islam? Would you like to say it in Arabic? Same thing, that there is one God and Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God. Would you like to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him?
But if I enter and convert to Muslim, I must learn about Muslim, right?
Yes. When you convert, once you become a Muslim, you have set the minimum two requirement. Then later on would come Salah, not from day one. And then, because we believe this life is a test for the hereafter. As Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. For he, when the Spirit of Truth shall come, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come, he will guide you to truth. So once you enter, slowly, slowly you learn and you practice. How you enter school? First you learn A, B, C, D, then CAT, CAT, BAT, BAT. Slowly, slowly. It takes time. Some people get double promotion, they learn fast also. Would you like to enter the school of Islam? You are thinking too much.
I'm not ready, sir.
Okay, fine. I would like you to do more study.
Yeah.
And once you're convinced, I would like you to enter the fold of Islam. To enter the fold of Islam, as I told you, minimum two things are required. Believe that there's one God and believe Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God. Later on, the practice comes. But as a good Christian, you have to follow the advice of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, that follow the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Inshallah, I'll pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you guidance as soon as possible. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Can we have the next question, brother? Are there any other non-Muslims like to ask a question? Any non-Muslim from the sister's side or from the brother's side would like to ask a question? Any non-Muslims, you can ask any questions. It's your opportunity. By the time you're coming on the microphone, we'll take a question from the brother's side. Yes, brother, on my right.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Dr. Zakir. My name is Zakaria Yusuf. I'm a businessman. I asked this question because I couldn't answer to my good friend of mine who was studying together with me in the States, and he went murtad. He asked this question before, back 25 years ago to me, but I could not reply to him. The main reason he converted, he went murtad, because he's questioning the justice of Allah. He say, why certain people are born without shahada? Some people are born with shahada, and the hidayah is only from the God, from Allah. He questioned that justice, why certain people are good in humanity but born without shahada. Thank you, brother.
Brother said that you had a friend 25 years back in States, for the Muslim. He asked you a simple question, you could not reply, and he became a murtad. Inshallah, don't let it happen again. It happened 25 years back. Yeah. After I give the answer, if you don't repeat the answer, then you're in trouble.
Okay?
I wish you would have asked this question 25 years back.
Yes,
I wish.
Yeah.
The question posed is that his friend, who's a Muslim, questioned the injustice of Allah, knows billah, that why some people are born with shahada, some without shahada. That means some people are born Muslim, some people are non-Muslim. Why this injustice? Brother, according to our Prophet Muhammad, every child is born in Deen al-Fitr. Every child is born as a Muslim. You don't have to give shahada. To become a Muslim, you have to submit your will to God. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every child when he is born, he submits his will to God. Irrespective whether he is born in a Christian family, Jewish family, Hindu family, Muslim family, he is born as a Muslim. Later on, he is influenced by his parents, by his teachers, by his elders, by his friends. He may start doing fire worship, he may start doing idol worship, and he converts. Some of them, they have got good influence of their parents, they remain as Muslims. That's the reason when a non-Muslim becomes a Muslim, convert is a wrong word. The correct word is revert. He was a Muslim, he became a non-Muslim, he deviated. Then he came back to Islam. So the more appropriate word is revert, not convert. Now regarding a question, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unjust? Na'udzubillah, that some are born in a Muslim family, so they remain Muslims. Some people are born in non-Muslim families, therefore they become non-Muslim. Can be the question is a little bit changed. What you have to realize that everyone born in a Muslim family will not go to Jannah. And everyone born in a non-Muslim family will not go to Jannah. Best example is your friend. Was a Muslim, became a Murtad. Will he go to Jannah? No. That proves that everyone born in a Muslim family will not go to Jannah. The requirement for Jannah is given in Surah Al-Asr, chapter number 103, verse number 1-3, which says, "Wal as innal insana fi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr." That by the token of time, man is verily in a state of loss, except those who have faith, those who have righteous deed, those who exhort people to truth, to da'wah, and those who exhort people to patience and perseverance. These are the minimum four criteria required for any human being go to Jannah. Many people have a misconception that if I'm born in a Muslim family and if I call myself Muslim, I'll go to Jannah. This is a misconception. Big misconception. To go to Jannah, all four things are required. Iman, righteous deed, watawasaw bil haq, da'wah, and watawasaw bil sabr. Inviting people to patience and perseverance. So it's not necessary that everyone born in a Muslim family goes to Jannah. He may become a murtad like your friend. He may say he's a Muslim, but will rob, will do zina, will drink alcohol, will cheat. If Allah forgives him, he'll go to Jannah. Allah doesn't forgive him, he'll go to Jannah. There are many people born in a non-Muslim family. And mashallah, many people accepting Islam through Peace TV. MashaAllah, every day hundreds, Alhamdulillah. Every day, Alhamdulillah, Allah is giving them hidayah. Born in a non-Muslim family, they hear the lectures, they accept it. So it's not sure, Allah gives everyone an opportunity. And the verse I quoted in the ending of my talk, I started the talk with, gave the translation in the end. Of Surah Fusila, chapter 41, verse number 53. If someone says, maybe I didn't get the message of Islam. What? Maybe he didn't get the message of Islam, why should he go to Jahannam? Correct? There were two tribes, the Kapauku tribe and the Austin aborigines. These two tribes did not come in contact with modern civilization till as late as 1950. When researchers went and tried to find out what was their way of life, it was everything of Islam but in name. They believed in one God. They believe God has got no image, God has got no idols, they did the sajda, they prostrated for worshipping that God. Everything same, not in name. So if you take a child born in a Christian family or from a Hindu family and you isolate them completely, they will continue on Deen al-Fitr. They will behave like Muslims. Because of the external influence, they change. Now Allah says in the Quran, irrespective whether someone gives you dawah or not, whether you're born in Timbuktu or an island, Allah says that He will give the message directly to every human being. Allah says in Surah Fusila, chapter 41, verse number 53, سَنُورِهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَوْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِ أَوَلَمْ يَخْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. That soon we shall show them our signs in the furthest regions of the horizons and into their soul until it is clear to them that this is the truth. So Allah says, irrespective someone gives you the message or not, to every human being, whether born in Muslim family or non-Muslim family, Allah Himself gives the message in his heart. But when a person gets a message, he may not follow, If I follow, then I lose my business. If I follow, I will not have to drink alcohol. I cannot go dancing with girls, and I cannot do this. I cannot gamble. So he doesn't follow. Therefore, on the day of judgment, Allah says in the Quran that the unbelievers will never question to the justice of Allah. They will only say, give us one more chance. Allah will say, it's too late. Allah gives you chance in this world, 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times. Mm-hmm. Once you die, test is over. So tell your friend that Allah will give to every human being the message. But every human being will not follow it because of his personal desires. Allah says that in the Quran. So therefore, no unbeliever on the day of judgment will ever, including your friend, cannot tell that Allah is unjust, because Allah makes it clear to every human being, annaul haq, this is the truth. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you. Thank you.
The most welcome. Can we have the next question? Are there any non-Muslims who would like to ask a question? Any non-Muslim sisters? Any non-Muslim brothers? Questions on Quran, questions on Islam, questions on comparative religion?
Okay, assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. My name is Aslina and I am a writer. As you know, your presence in Malaysia got so many response from the citizen, whether in negative or positive way. Some might be very happy with when you come here, and some of them against you. Okay, it might be one of your challenge as a preacher. So what do you think about these situations? And one more thing, yesterday the Malaysian authorities have to decide to stop your talk in Melaka, but today they change to allow you again with one condition, that you need to change your topic. So what do you feel about this?
Sister asked a question that I've got many fans here, I've got people against me, and people, some people are happy, some people don't like. It's difficult for a preacher, dai. And I was going to give a talk in KL and Malacca, and it was cancelled. In the yesterday newspaper headline, controversy, Dr. Zakir Naik, cancelled. And then again today, it has come back. First of all, I would like to thank Hindraf. You know Hindraf? It's a Hindu organization. I would like to thank them for giving me free publicity. I have not come here for publicity, I have to thank them, because now I expect a bigger audience will come in KL and in Malacca. Point number one. Point number one, thank them. That's a different thing, that what they said is not true. And there are many people who told them, why don't you come? We will make you sit in the front row and we will allow you to ask the first question. You can ask Dr. Zai. That's what I believe. If I'm someone who's speaking falsehood, I will never allow question answer session. I like challenge. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. So first I'd like to thank them for giving me free publicity for so that more people will come there. And they even said that, I know they send circulars everywhere that no Hindu should attend, but I was there yesterday at the university. At the university. MashaAllah, there was a lady who came and she asked questions. How many Hindus came, I don't know, but Hindus even came and asked me questions. Alhamdulillah. The second thing I'd like to thank them for is getting the Muslims together. You know, I gave a talk, my first public lecture in Telangana was a topic chosen by the Honorable Chief Minister of Telangana, his topic, that the importance of the unity in the Muslim Ummah. And I gave a talk. And we know that unfortunately Muslim Ummah is divided. But sometimes what happens, when the enemy comes, it unites the Muslims. When this Hindraf and MIC said, you know, and they made a statement that, you know, one of the deputy chief minister of Penang told Satan Dr. Zakir Naik. MashaAllah, all the Muslims, it angered the Muslims. I'm happy. MashaAllah. So I am thankful to the deputy chief minister of Penang to unite the Muslims, so much so that not only the ruling party, even the opposition, the ruling party, I'm no, objected to it. The opposition, I don't know all the name, PAS or whichever, I'm not a political person. All the opposition came and they said, how dare you attack the Muslims and Islam. So I'd like to thank Hindraf and MIC and the deputy CM of Penang for getting the Muslims united, even the political party. To unite Muslims is difficult. I gave a talk. So at least one thing, alhamdulillah, because he attacked Islam and he attacked the Da'i of Islam, we may have differences. I know some Muslims may not like me. Some Muslim may be my fan. But we should be united. We agree to disagree. We agree to disagree. For me, if someone abuses me, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. I would like to thank that at least he united the Muslims. To unite the Muslims is difficult. So at least you could see on the headline, and today's paper I saw the headline, you know, I'm no party giving statement that we'll see to it that Dr. Zakir's program take place. The opposition is saying we'll see to it, we'll have Dr. Zakir next program, and it's good. So what I believe, if I could unite the Muslims, even a small fraction, I would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the allegation, it is not correct for the Muslims to abuse or criticize any God. Allah says in the Quran in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 108, revile not those, abuse not those who they worship God besides Allah, lest in their ignorance they will abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the Muslim is not allowed to criticize even the wrong gods which they worship. That is Quran. And never have I criticized any of the gods. The problem is that when I speak, many people agree with me. And when they agree, many people accept Islam. We find in India, we find in Dubai, in many parts of the world, they're accepting Islam. No one is forcing them. So what we find, that some of them who are fanatic and don't know their religion well, if they know their religion well, you tell me one thing, anyone points out any verse of the Quran which I'm not following, and he points out to me, I will thank him. You say, Dr. Zakir, chapter number so and so, verse number so and so, you're not following, I'll say, Jazakallah. I think I'm following most of the verses. I'm a human being, I can make a mistake. If I make a mistake, and if I realize, okay, I made a mistake, the person who points out my mistake, I have to thank him. It is egoistic not to agree with a mistake. It is human to err. And even I can make a mistake. That is the reason I say, let's have question and answer session. If I make a mistake, I will change. So as a da'i should be versatile. He should be kind. When required, he should be like Sheikh Didas, roaring like a lion when required, when you're having a debate, etc. And what we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah accept our efforts. May Allah accept our effort. And I believe that every time I'm coming to Malaysia, the audience is increasing. And the audience is increasing, and I find that the love is increasing. And I really appreciate, you know, first I came in 1996. And in the last about 20 years, I've come 6 times. For last 21 years, 6 times. So maybe every 3.5 years I've come on average. Now the love has increased, so maybe I'll have to come more often than every 3.5 years, inshallah. Hope that answers the question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh. Thank you, Dr. Zakani, for a beautiful speech and also a lot of scientific evidence about science and Islam. I would like to touch about medicine and Islam. Okay, my name is Dr. Afiq. I'm a medical doctor. Pardon me?
Can you repeat the last sentence you'd like to touch on?
Medicine and Islam.
Medicine?
Yeah.
Medicine?
Yeah.
What is medicine?
Medicine.
Medicine, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, it's my...
Okay.
Medicine
and
Islam.
Medicine and Islam. Yes, okay. As I would like to quote from your speech, religion without science is blind. Okay. Allah is the only healer, and no human can heal any disease without his permission. However, some people in Malaysia believe that only by praying without seeing medical treatment or seek any medical attention, they can get a cure. Some says the current medical practice is far from Islamic way. And they also claim that Western agenda has tried to weaken our Muslim society from the health perspective. For example, I would like to give when a patient in end-stage renal failure, okay, was suggested for dialysis. He or she might refuse the treatment because he believed that Allah can heal him or her. At the same time, he also doesn't want or afraid that he might be the victim of the Western agenda. So the question is, as a Muslim, are we allowed to choose a risky decision for our health of life, although there are clinical and also evidence-based solutions to preserve and protect it? Thank you.
The brother asked a very good question. He asked a question on medicine and Islam, and he said there are some Muslims who believe that it is Allah who heals, and even I believe Allah is the only one who heals, and Allah says who is Shafi, he's the only one who heals, but we have to follow his guidance, very important. There are some Muslims who believe that only Allah's healing is sufficient, we don't have to go to a doctor. That's one thing. Other people who believe only medical doctors are sufficient, taking allopathy is sufficient. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse 171, لا تغلو في دينكم. Do not commit excesses in your religion. This is excesses. Yes, if someone says that I will read the verses of the Quran and can be cured, yes, it's possible. Quran is ruqya. Allah says in Surah Isra chapter number 17 verse number 81 and 2, it says وَقُلْ جَاءَ لَكَ وَذَاكَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ قَانَ نَزُوكَ وَنُنَزُلُ الْقُرَانَ لَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ رَحْمَةُ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلَا يَزِلُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. That when truth is held against falsehood, falsehood perishes. But falsehood is by its nature bound to perish. Quran is a healing for the believers. And for the others, it is nothing but loss. So, what we have to realize, unfortunately, we have Muslims going on extreme. They say anything Western, haram. Some say anything Western, great. So we have been so much impressed with Western world that we're head over heels. And some people are so much against that khalas, everything haram. What we have to do is a balance. We are ummat e wast. Now, what you have to realize, Allah says in the Quran, yes, number one to heal is Allah. But if you have to believe in Allah, you have to follow Allah. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Nahl chapter 16 verse 43 and Surah Anbiya chapter 21 verse number 7, Fas'alu ahli zikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. If you don't know, ask the person who's knowledgeable. So if you are sick, Allah says go to a doctor. If you don't go to a doctor, you are not following Allah. Fine, you can even go to a ruqya. You can go to a raqi also, no problem. Go to a raqi. He may cure you, no problem. But that doesn't mean only go to raqi. So, if you are sick, Quran doesn't say go to a Muslim doctor. If you find a Muslim, good. If you find a non-Muslim, no problem. So if you don't know, that means Quran is telling, if you are sick, you go to a doctor. If you want knowledge, you go to a teacher. So going to the doctor is compulsory. If you say, I will not go to a doctor, it is wrong. It is wrong. You have to go. Yes, if he's telling you to do something haram and you don't follow, that's different. But most of the doctors don't tell you haram. If you tell you renal dialysis, it's allowed. Quran says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse 173, Surah Maidah chapter 5 verse number 3, in Surah An'am chapter 6 verse 145, and Surah Nahl chapter 16 verse 115, Hurrimat alaykumul maitatu waddamu walahmul khinzir, wama uhilla li ghairi Allah bih, forbidden for you for food, dead meat, blood, flesh or swine, and any food on which any name it says Allah's name is taken. But if you unwillingly disobey Allah, Allah is Rahman or Rahim, means if you are in a boat and you are dying of hunger, and if only pork is there, to save your life you can eat pork also. Normally, pork is haram. But if you are on a boat and you have no food supply, your boat is in the sea for days together, once you come on shore, again pork becomes haram. Hello. If you know that alcohol is the only drug that can save you, alcohol is haram. Yes, don't have alcohol in cough syrup. You know, some people want to have beer because they are feeling cold. That is haram. If you are feeling cold, have honey. Honey keeps you more warm than the beer. But you don't get the kick in the honey, what you get in the beer. So in Islam, we have to take Quran as a whole. So if you are sick, it's compulsory you should go to a doctor. If you don't have money to go and you don't go, then Allah will forgive you. But if you say no, it is wrong, that is what Allah is saying. So you have to understand Islam as a whole, not just in parts. So Quran says, go to an expert. If you are sick, you have to go. If you know, if there is some treatment which is the only treatment that can save your life. Even if it's haram, it becomes permissible. But if it's a treatment which is not a major treatment, like cough syrup, and if you have alcohol, it is wrong. Because that's a small thing. You can have other drugs which is non-alcoholic, which can yet cure your problem. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Then we have the next question.
Assalamualaikum, Dr. Zakir Naik.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
It's very nice to meet you. Okay, my name is Sadiq Fauzan bin Muhammad Fauzi, and I'm a student. My question is a simple question. I watched a few videos of yours, and you say that Allah sent 1,200 prophets in the world, and mentioned in the Quran is 25 names. So my question is, why only the followers of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, has misunderstood? Misunderstood he is the God. But the other prophets, such as the followers of the Moses, did not misunderstood. The followers of the Prophet Muhammad did not understood, which he was God. That's what
there was asked a question that I mentioned in my lecture, that there were 124,000, not 2,400. 124,000 messengers sent on the face of the earth. It's a Sahih Hadith, mentioned Mishkat al-Masabi. But 25 are mentioned by name. And I also said that the only messengers whose followers misunderstood him to be God are the followers of Jesus. Why? They misunderstood. You have to ask them why they misunderstood. Why asking me? Now, because he was misunderstood, that's the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up alive. They misunderstood that he claimed divinity. Most of the Christians today believe that Jesus is God. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse 158, Allah raised him up alive. So in his second coming, he will testify. He never told them to worship him. But he said, oh, Budullah, worship Allah, Rabbi wa Rabbakum, my Lord and your Lord. So Allah has raised him up alive so that in his second coming, he will testify to the Christian. He never claimed divinity, but you are the messenger of God. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Waalaikumsalam
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
12 years ago, I was asked by my daughter, Ma, where can I meet Allah? I asked her back, why you want to meet him? She said, I want to ask him to give you the ability to get pregnant, because if we want to give birth, we see doctor. So that I want to ask Allah to give you the ability to pregnant, so that you can see doctor after that to give birth. So I was clueless at that time. I also asked many ustaz, but I got answer that was not kids friendly. So I would like to ask your help. Though it might seem too late to give me the answer to my daughter's question, that is not only kids friendly answer, but kids friendly answer that will instill a kid's belief in Allah existence, but also can benefit her for the future.
Sister has asked a very good question regarding the question posed by a daughter 12 years back. And believe me, to answer the young children and infants are the most difficult. They put you to task. They let the parents do their homework. Answering adults is easy, answering children is the most difficult. And your daughter asked you a very good question. Your daughter asked you, where can I meet Allah or when can I meet Allah? And you couldn't answer. Simple, you can meet Allah in Jannah. You can meet Allah in Jannah. There are hadith that if you go to Jannah, you would want to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can meet Allah only in Jannah. In this world, no human being can see Allah. Even Musa alayhi salam, if you read the Quran, he wanted to see Allah. So Allah said, look at that mount, Tur. I will show my glance to that mount. And when Musa alayhi salam saw the mountain, he fainted. So no one can see Allah in this world. Tell your daughter, you can see Allah in Jannah, and then you tell her how to go to Jannah, Quran and Hadith. Regarding a second question. When I meet Allah, I will tell him to make you pregnant. You tell you don't have to meet Allah to talk to Allah. You can talk to Allah now also, right or wrong? Dua. Dua is a hotline to Allah. You know, hotline. So today, to talk to someone, you require appointment. And bigger the person, more difficult to talk. Correct? Allah hotline. Anyone can talk to Allah anytime. Hotline. He can talk to billion, million people together, no problem. We human beings cannot. Correct? So he said, to talk to Allah, you don't have to wait. You can talk now itself. Do dua. Simple. And why won't Allah listen to your dua? When Allah listened to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam did dua. And his wife Sarah did dua. And they got. And you have other examples. There are so many examples in the Quran. So what we have to realize, that when a child asks, never ever give a wrong answer. Never give a wrong answer. If you don't know, you say, I don't know. Many a time, you know, when our kids play, and when they stay in a building, and I used to stay in 10th floor, 9th floor, now I'm on 10th floor. You know, people normally play that game. Choo, kawale, crow has taken away. Choo, crow has taken away. So the parents play with the children, crow has taken away. So the child also throws toys outside. My children never threw toys outside because I never played that game. Crow has taken away. Crow has taken away. Oh, don't come, Buddha man will come. Where, what Buddha man will come? Where is the Buddha man? So many people say things to pacify the children, and they say things which are wrong. Never even tell a white lie to your child. Never. Yes, but when the children ask questions, many a times we can't reply, so you do your homework. I'm sure you could have asked to some person who had knowledge, you would have given you this answer. Where to meet Allah Jannah? I want to ask to dua. But through dua, good reason. So that helps you in making your child pray. Okay, now if you want to talk to Allah, do your wudu, do your prayers, do your salah, good. So it's helping you to make your child come closer to Allah. You lost the opportunity, yet you can have it. Now your child may be 12 years older, correct? That means she may be 15 years, 20 years, I don't know.
16.
4 years when she asked you. So yet. And it's better late than never. It is better late than never. So the thing is that you have to take this opportunity. When children ask you any question, you get them closer to Islam, get them closer to the Quran and the Prophet, so that they become better practiced Muslims. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you.
Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Zakir. My name is Muhammad Hanif. I study aviation studies, and as we know that atheists is always trying to question every religious people in every religion. As we know that atheists is always trying to question every religious people in every religion, right? And we as a believer trust God is exist in our life. But if an atheist come to me by face to face and ask me, how can you tell me the importance of having God in our life, as we can handle this life just by our own mind and our own way of life?
Sorry, brother, I cannot understand your question. You're reading down. The atheist will ask you what question?
If an atheist come to me face to face and ask me, how can you tell me the importance of having God in our life, as we can handle this life just by our own...
Can you tell me the importance of having God?
Yes.
Having God in your life?
Yeah. If an atheist come to me and ask me, how can you tell me the importance of having God in our life, as we can handle this life just by our own mind and our own way of life with our own power, not by the God power?
Very good question. Simple question, very easy. If an atheist comes and tells you that how can you tell me the importance of God and I can handle life with my mind, I don't require the help of God, how will you reply? Simple. You ask him, what is the cure of AIDS? Can he handle?
Pardon me?
Can he handle what is the cure of AIDS? What is the cure of AIDS? Can he handle, the atheist?
Pardon me?
What is the cure of AIDS? You know AIDS, A-I-D-S.
AIDS, oh yes.
It's a disease?
Yes, it's a disease.
It is like you telling me when I go to a forest and I want to eat fruits, I know some are poisonous, some are not poisonous. As an intelligent man, I will ask the person who knows the forest well, which fruit is poisonous, right or wrong? If I try and eat, very shortly I will poison myself and die, right or wrong? So intelligent person always asks the person who knows, right or wrong?
Right.
If when your HS friend gets sick, does he go to a doctor or not? Why does he go? Why are you going to a doctor? You know everything. Don't go to a doctor. Ask him, why do you go to a doctor? Why are you going to school? Which school you went to? I went to school XYZ. Why? You know everything. Why did you go to school? Ask him. Huh?
Yes, I will.
Now when you go to school, the teacher teaches you. God is the best to teach. When you get sick, you go to a doctor. God is the best doctor in the world. He's the best teacher in the world. He's the all-knowing. He's the all-wise. He's O Shafi. He's the one to cure. When he tells you why go to doctor, because my God tells me to go to doctor. Fasanu alis dikrin kundu devam kundu doctor. Why do you go to doctor? Ask him. Simple. Quran. If you read the Quran with translation, all the answers are here. Very easy. Very simple. No one can take you for a ride. If you read the Quran with translation in the language you understand the best, whether it be Malay, whether it be English, whether it be Urdu, read it. Believe me, you'll get all the answers. This Quran is the solution to the problems of humanity. Many a time when someone asks you the question, you get stumped. Yes. So you said, because he's our creator. You ask him a question, when you get a new gadget, do you have equipment guide or not?
I have.
More complicated the machine, the more requirement of a guide, right or wrong?
Right.
If you allow me to call the human being a machine, it is the most complicated machine in the world, right or wrong?
Yes.
Don't you think it requires a guide? Doesn't it require instruction manual? Does it require or not?
Yes.
Which is the instruction manual? Quran. This is the instruction manual written by the creator of the human beings, Almighty God. Hope that answers the question.
Thank you, sir.
Can we have the next question?
Assalamualaikum. I'm Faizal, a businessman and a part-time student. Last 2 years, I'm came back from Bangkok by train. Then I doing salah. Then I facing with a monk, and then I talk with him. Then before he leaving, he was told me that. He believed in Allah. He told me word Allah, not God. He believed in Allah, but Allah created him to be a monk. Then how come he can be a Muslim? I have no answer, then quiet.
Brother said he met a monk and he said Allah created him, Allah made him a monk. So you should say Allah sent me to make you Muslim. Talk. Good opportunity. Allah made you monk, no problem. Allah told me to do dawah with you and I'm doing dawah. You didn't do, you lost the opportunity. Now go and find him again.
Inshallah.
So if he says that Allah made you monk, alhamdulillah, no problem. But, and now if you accept Islam, all your sins are forgiven. You tell the monk that, see brother, if you accept Islam today, maybe your age is 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, no problem. What you did in the past, everything forgiven. All good you did is there. All the wrong we did forgiven. So you're lucky. For us, we were born Muslim and we remained Muslim. We did negative, positive, we don't know. For you, if you accept Islam now, khalas, everything is forgiven. You are lucky. Become Muslim. You didn't tell him. Find him now.
Inshallah.
Next time when you meet a non-Muslim known, let him go. Okay?
Okay.
Don't fight with him. Do dawah with him, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Oh, jazakallah. Yes, sister.
Assalamualaikum, my name is Atia and I'm still student. I once before tried to prove my non-Muslim friend by using the scientific fact. But she questioned me back if the Quran had mentioned about all the scientific fact and the theory before about 1,400 years ago, but why the one who discovered and developed all the theories and all the scientific fact was not non-Muslim itself. Thank you.
This is a very important question, that if Quran has spoken about so many scientific facts 14 years back, so why aren't Muslims who have discovered all this? Sister, if you read history, from the 8th to the 12th centuries, the Europeans called it the Dark Ages. It was dark for the Europeans, but the Muslims were the most advanced. The amount of scientific discoveries they made is phenomenal. At that time, Arabic was at its peak. If you wanted to do research in science, it was compulsory, you had to learn Arabic. And if you go back to history, it is the Western media which is hiding. If you read history, we come to know that, you know the word 1, 2, 3, 4 you learn in school in English language? What's it called? 1, 2, 3, 4, what's it called? Arabic numerals. You know why? Because previously they believed in Roman numerals. The Indians, they discovered the zero. The Muslims came and put the decimal point and described the Arabic numerals. The 1, 2, 3, 4 we write in English is called as Arabic numerals discovered by the Muslims. If you know about trigonometry, the Pythagoras theorem. You know Pythagoras theorem?
Yes.
The sum, the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the other two sides of a triangle. It is discovered by whom? By Al-Abtusi, a Muslim. You know the first person drew the world map. It was Al-Idrusi in 1154. When the Muslim drew the world map, the South Pole was on top, North Pole down, Kaaba was in the center. The Western cartographers came and turned the map upside down. North Pole down, North Pole top, South Pole down, yet mashallah, Kaaba is in the center. So the first person who drew the world map was a Muslim. Further, if you read about Al-Biruni, Al-Biruni was the person who did so much of advances in science and technology. If you know about Aristotle of the East, Avicenna, it is Ali ibn Sina, Aristotle of the East, Muslim, the father of chemistry, Geber, it is not Geber, it is Jabir ibn Hayyan, he was the father of chemistry. The word alcohol is derived from the Arabic word al-gul, meaning evil spirit. Alcohol is derived from the Arabic word al-gul, meaning evil spirit. The father of chemistry was a Muslim, Jabir. But when we read in the book, it's Jabir. Jabir sounds like a Westerner. It's not Jabir, it is Jabir. The first person who calculated the circumference of the earth when the people thought the earth was flat were three brothers, Shakir, Muhammad and Ahmad, at angle at the Red Sea. If you know, the person who first propounded the theory of relativity, Al-Kindi, it was Albert Einstein who later on made more details, but the first person who propounded the theory of relativity was Al-Kindi. I can give on list of Muslim scientists. What is the media doing? It is hiding these things because they don't want to say that Islam is on top of the world. What we have to do? We have to go back to history, and that time the people were strong on top of the world because they were close to Quran and Sunnah. Today we have gone away from Quran and Sunnah, therefore we are down. Once we go back to Quran and Sunnah, inshallah we'll be on top of the world. Hope that answers the question, sister.
Thank you.
Inshallah, we'll have a last question from all the three microphones before we end the session. Yes, brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, Dr. Zakir. I would like to begin my question with a statement. But before that, my name is Shafiq and I'm a teacher. Okay, we all know that Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawarah and Al-Aqsa al-Sharif are the three main holy sites for the Muslims. But lately, Al-Aqsa is in a very unstable state. My question is, what is the agenda of Israel to take over the land? What similarities do we have? And what can we do as the Muslim Ummah to apply pressure to Israel? Thank you.
He was asking the question, what is the agenda of Israel to take over Jerusalem? You have to go and ask the Israel. I'm not an Israeli. You're asking the wrong person. How do I know? As though I'm hand in glove with them, planning. I'm on the agenda. They'd have to ask a person who's a political expert on all these things. What we should do, that we as Muslim Ummah should be united. We should be united, and if any Muslim, as the beloved Prophet ﷺ said, It's hadith in Sahih Bukhari, volume number 8, hadith number 6011, that the beloved Prophet said, the Muslim Ummah, the believers, they are merciful unto one another. They are loving unto one another, and they are like one body. And if one part of the body gets sick, the whole body feels the fever. That means the whole Muslim Ummah is one. We should be united, and inshallah, if you are united, then we will be in a better position to help our Muslim brothers who are in trouble. The problem we are facing today is that we aren't united. If we are united, if we follow the Quran and Sunnah, inshallah, at the time of the Sahabas, you know, at the time of Khulafa Rashidin, no non-Muslim ever dared play mischief with us, because we were united, we were one. Today, mashallah, Muslims are 1.8 billion. Allah has given us the black gold. We have the money. We are the richest people in the world. Yet, we aren't united. Money is not important. We require unity. We should follow Quran and Sunnah. If we follow Quran and Sunnah, and if we adhere to the Quran and the Sahih Hadith, inshallah, again, Muslims will be on top of the world. Hope that answers the question. Can we have the next question?
Assalamualaikum, Dr. Zakir. My name is Muhammad Shurah bin Hassan bin Rafidi. I am a UNIZA student. I am asking on behalf of my friend. He asked me, but I cannot give a solid answer. All I can say is, Wallahu alam, no further comment. He asked me, what if in afterlife we realize that we are in the wrong religion? Thank you.
Let us ask the question that what if in the afterlife we realize we are in the wrong religion? That's a big problem. That's the reason, do research now. Do research now, otherwise you cannot come back in life. This test is only once. That's the reason, tell your friend that you have to research now what Allah has given the brick. Allah has given grey matter to us. Use your brain to find out the right religion. And if you find the right religion, stick to it. So with whatever knowledge Allah has given us, if you use your logic, reasoning, you'd only come to know, as Allah says in Surah Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 19, Inna Deena Indallah al-Islam, the only religion acceptable in the sight of Almighty God, in the sight of Allah, is Islam. Islam is the only right religion. I've given you so many scientific facts. Whatever knowledge we have in the world, we can prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prove to them that Quran is the word of God, and we have to follow the Quran, inshallah, we will go to Jannah in the next life, inshallah. Hope that answers the question. Then we have the last question, sister.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam.
My name is Mir Al-Hafiza binti Abu Sama. I am a student. So my nephew once asked me, Auntie Fiza, where is Allah? So I got no answer. So I stumbled upon Quran and I found which is Surah As-Sajdah, and I forgot which verse, but it mentioned Thumma Istawa 'alal 'Arsh. So I am wondering, does Allah live in Arsh, and what does it mean by Istawa, and what does it mean by Al Arsh? So the next question is by my friend's question. I'm sorry, she wrote it. I see division in Muslim today. There are some who follow four madhab and some are Wahhabi. Problem started when they are telling each other wrong. So what is your advice? And the third question is, I'm sorry, but this is my friend's question. As a Muslim doctor, you are a Muslim doctor, what is your stand on vaccines? That's all.
So there's three questions. Last question, there's three in one. The first question asked by her niece, that where is Allah? And she stumbled across the verse of Surah Sajda, Allah is on Arsh, and that's correct. But the answer of yours is correct, that Allah is established on His throne. But Allah also says in Surah Shura, chapter number 42, verse number 11, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing whatever like Him. Allah hears and sees. But Allah does not hear and see like you and me, like our ears and our eyes. So you say, how is the Arsh? You start thinking of a chair. How is Allah's Arsh? Allah wala. So Quran says Allah is on Arsh, that is the right answer. And His Arsh extends throughout. We have a thinking, you know, Arsh how. So whatever description is given in hadith, we accept it. We don't add to it. There are various hadith. There is a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the lady came to the, a lady was there. And Prophet wanted to test her. is she a mu'min or not? So Allah, so the Prophet asked her, where is Allah? She said, on top. The Prophet said, she has iman. Wow. That's the reason when we do dua, we put our hand on the top. Correct? Yeah. So you can give the answer, Allah is on top, that's also correct. Allah is on arsh, that's also correct. Both answers are correct.
Oh, so the, I could say to my nephew, Allah is everywhere.
No.
No.
Now you're falling into a trap. I know there are some people who say Allah is everywhere, but there's no text. Yes, Allah is everywhere by power. What does Hadith say, Allah is on top? I know there are some people who do say, but what we have to realize that when talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not add anything of your own. It's very dangerous. Some people explain, yes, Allah by power is everywhere. He has power over everything. Many verses. But Quran says he's on earth, he's on earth. Allah is on top. The Hadith says Allah is on top. It's better not to add. The Prophet said, don't waste too much time on discussing on about Allah. And you say something, you make a mistake. Best is to repeat the verse of the Quran, very safe. There's nowhere in the Quran which says Allah is everywhere. I know there are many Muslims who believe in that. It is safe to repeat a verse of the Quran, you can never be wrong. Regarding the second question. Second question was vaccine, or third question was vaccine?
The third question on vaccines. The second question is about the madhab. The
madhab. There are so many madhabs and each madhab is criticizing each other. I have given the talk on unity in the Muslim Ummah on the 10th of this month. I gave in Telangana, Kuala Telangana. And there I said that all the four Aimmas, Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy on him, Imam Shafi, may Allah have mercy on him, Imam Malik, may Allah have mercy on him, and as well as the fourth Imam, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, may Allah have mercy on him. And there were many other Aimmas, these four were more famous. All the Aimmas, they said that if you find a hadith which is sahih, that is my madhab. All the Aimmas said that if you find any of my opinion, any of my fatwa, which is against the book of Allah and the hadith of the Prophet, ignore my fatwa. They did not come to fight. They were all loving. They gave the opinion. And they all. And if you analyze, more than 95%, all the opinions are the same. They may differ in 2, 3, 4%. And all the Aimmas said that if you find my opinion, which is against the Quran and the Sahih Hadith, you ignore my opinion. They came to spread the deen and get the Muslim Ummah closer to Quran and Sunnah. Unfortunately, we are fighting. The only way we can come close, Allah says in Surah Imran chapter 3 verse 103, وَاتَسِيمُ بِهَبْنِ اللَّهِ جَمْيَا وَلَا تَفْرَقُوا. Hold the rope of Allah strongly and be not divided. Hope that answers the question. Regarding use of vaccine, if the vaccine contains anything which is haram, and if it's a drug which is going to save your life, this is the ruling. If you are using a medicine, and if that medicine is the only medicine that can save your life, even if it contains alcohol, it is permitted. If it contains certain things like pig, if it's the insulin, if you have an option of bovine insulin, cow insulin, no problem. But if you have no other option, and if you use a drug, even though it contains alcohol or contains something which is haram, and if that drug is the only drug that can save you, it is permitted in Islam. Otherwise, in a normal circumstance, it is haram. Hope that answers the question. Wa akhra dawan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Thank you.
We have come to the